Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad. I'm here in the studio today. It's June 6th. I've got Sam Grass with me and Trevor Walford. And today's kind of a special day. Sam, what day is today?
Well, since you prepped me just about 10 seconds ago, I hope I get this correct. Today is the anniversary of D-Day.
D-Day, indeed. 1944, 68 years ago today. We just want to take an opportunity, as we often do, to thank all those veterans who have fought for our country and those who have given the lives, either themselves or family members or support. And so we just want to take a moment to recognize that.
But it's also another great day in the history of Griswold, and I'll let you speak to that.
Yes, today we are taking time out from our regular series of shows to celebrate a couple of things. First of all, 20 years of being in business in Atlanta as Griswold Special Care, 30 years of being in business corporately, starting in Philadelphia, and also announcing today that we are changing our name from Griswold Special Care to Griswold Home Care. And our guest today is someone who has spent an awful lot of time with Griswold Special Care, has gone on to start her own business, but was there in the beginning. And that person is Fiona Middleton. Fiona Middleton is coming to us on the telephone today from Philadelphia. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be with us. We typically start out our shows by asking our guests to just tell us a little bit about themselves, where you grew up, where you went to school, and how you got to be where you're going, where you are today. And as we've already discussed, we're going to gloss over your time at Griswold a little bit and talk about what you're doing today, and then maybe go back and let you tell us some stories about the early days of Griswold.
Sure. So I'm from the Philadelphia area of Pennsylvania and was born and raised here and went to college here at local school, Westchester University. Ended up graduating from a different college from Rosemont, where I went on and picked up my master's degree. And my formal education, I have a master's in management with a concentration in training and leadership. And I chose that because really training is for me, my true love, and when you combine that with sales, I'm just in heaven because that's, to me, part and parcel of the same whole. I have traveled all over the country, visiting many of the Griswold locations, but many other clients that I work with, and of course, just fun travel. I am an avid skydiver. I was working on my pilot's license for a little while. Those are just kind of the offline things that I do. But my real passion right now is for Fairfield Business Solutions, which is the company that I founded. And what we do, it's marketing consulting and sales training. And I really focus on organizations that are providing services to older adults. That's my background. It's what I know. And there's some very things that are specific to these kinds of organizations that wouldn't apply to other service businesses or even product-related businesses. So that is really where I focus. And lately have been doing a lot of guest speaking engagements at different conferences and different organizations just to help people along with their sales and marketing efforts and being better known in the community.
Fiona, it's very interesting what you just spoke of. Why is the marketing to seniors different, or how is it different than other forms of marketing?
Well, it's a great question, and there's a number of reasons. First of all, in any business, there are norms for getting your product and service out there. And in senior marketing, there are ways to network in the greater healthcare community that someone from the outside would probably not be aware of. When you're selling directly to an older person, there's a whole concept out there. It's called generational cohort marketing. And the concept is that when people came of age, the songs that they heard, the world events that were going on, the economy at the time, all of these factors and many others really help to shape that individual so that when you are older, you know, I'm in my late 40s, and when I'm at a point where I'm in senior living someday or at home someday, I'll probably still be listening to the same music that I listen to today and that I listened to 20 or 30 years ago. Because of that, when you're working with somebody who is today, for example, in their 80s, and they grew up as young adults during World War II, which you were just talking about, they had women working for the first time as Rosie the Riveters out in factories. That has really shaped the way they look at the economy, the way they make buying decisions, and really the way they feel about staying at home, taking care of family members, their patriotism, and all of these things can be combined to help create a marketing piece that they will that they'll relate to and respond to a little bit better than just a generic marketing for anybody.
Fiona, let me ask you something about marketing to this set of people in general. You know, obviously, kids that could be in age 50s through late 60s and parents who are in their 80s. One of the things that we see is when you go into a hospital or a rehab, often you get a response from social workers akin to a used car salesman. You know, so a lot of these folks think that sales and marketing is a dirty word, is a dirty profession. But I know that from your background that your passion is in serving seniors. So could you speak to that?
Yeah, to me, Brad, first of all, it's a great question. To me, the most important thing in sales is credibility. And somebody who is really good in sales is someone whose first and primary concern is their client and the needs of that client. And a good salesperson is not someone who takes a product and pushes a product because it's on sale or because they have more inventory or because it's what they have that they can provide to that person. But instead, a good salesperson does the reverse, and they really sit down and they talk to their client. They find out what that person needs, and they help them to find options that will work for them and that will make their life better in some way, shape, or form. And when you approach sales from that perspective, you really start to lose the used car salesman image, where you've got that gum-chewing guy in a bad checked shirt who's trying to talk you into the latest thing that came into the lot. And instead, what you have is a consultant who can help you and who can be a resource for you. And when I work with clients, you know, for me, the clients being the companies, many of these individuals are not naturally salespeople. They might be nurses or administrators or social workers or people who worked in healthcare for a long, long time and maybe don't realize that sales can be a good thing, can be a positive thing, because they don't have to change that basic approach they have to life where they want to help people. In fact, it will only enhance what they're doing.
So tell us, before we jump back and talk about Griswold, tell us a little bit about the kind of organizations that you've been working with over the past year or so. I know that you left Griswold about 2 years ago, and then it was 2011 when you formed Fairfield Business Solutions. But tell us a little bit about the type of company you're working with, and you know, just an example of how you've been able to help these companies.
Sure. So many of the companies that I work with, as I said, all of them are providing services in some way, shape, or form to the older adult. I work with a lot of senior living communities, continuing care communities where there's an independent living, and I work with their sales teams to help them. Right now it's a with the real estate market being what it is, they have some challenges that are very unique to senior living. I also work with assisted livings and skilled care communities where the need's a little bit more immediate. I've worked with adult day services, with elder law attorneys, with care managers, geriatric care managers. And again, it's all people who are very definitely working with the older adults themselves and working with their family members. And, of course, I have about 20 years of home care experience behind me.
Excellent. Well, and let's kind of segue there. So today we are celebrating 30 years, Griswold Home Care, Griswold Special Care being in business. When Gene Griswold first started this company 30 years ago, it was a fledgling industry, not very many people out there doing what we are doing. And Fiona was there early on, knew Gene Griswold well. In fact, I think spoke to Gene Griswold just in the last day or so. And so we want to give Fiona an opportunity to tell us a little bit about what it was like in those early days, how Griswold Special Care came to be, and some of the challenges that were faced as she tried to kind of invent a new industry.
Sure, and it's an amazing story. Jean Griswold herself is an amazing woman, and as you said, coincidentally, I got a phone call from her this morning. We chatted for a little bit, and I'm happy to report she's extremely busy and doing really well. Jean was a pioneer in the home care industry. Back in the 70s and early 80s, if people needed help in their home, they really were kind of on their own. They would maybe run an ad in the paper or ask around to see if anybody knew somebody. A lot of times they hired a retired nurse to come on in and help out. And there wasn't really any formal type of a company that would actually screen people for them and make sure that the folks coming in were doing a good job, that they were showing up on time. And Jean saw this opportunity in her very, very local community. There was a woman who had needed some assistance and was unable to receive it. And she started out very grassroots, literally at her dining room table. And her husband is a minister. And through his contact, she actually knew people who were attending seminary school. And again, back in the 80s, she hired their wives. And those were the very first caregivers that Griswold at the time it was special care had. Because what she was doing was so unique, the local papers got a hold of it and really did a lot of very complimentary write-ups, and the business just exploded. And soon other people wanted to open their own home care offices in their own communities. And as a result, Griswold Home Care was actually the first home care company in the United States to franchise this concept and make it available throughout the country. And the companies never looked back. And back in those days, the challenges were really different. Today, there's many choices in home care, and it's become a very common concept. And we all know that staying at home is an affordable option and something that's widely available. Back then, the biggest challenge we had was just trying to explain to people what this concept was. What was non-medical home care? And people would ask questions like, are these caregivers nurses? Are they, can they, do nursing things? And we said, no, they're going to come in. They're going to cook your meal. They're going to take you shopping. They're going to give you a bath. They're going to help you do the things that family members did. And that was really the biggest challenge that we had back then, was just trying to explain to people what this whole new concept was. Hard to believe in 2012 that there was a day when this was a brand new concept.
Right, right. And there's a particular story that kind of prompted Gene to get into this business. Can you relate that?
Sure. Gene, there was a woman in actually her congregation, her husband's congregation, who needed some assistance, and the church had rounded up some volunteers, and people were just kind of going in and taking care of this woman. And unfortunately, volunteers aren't always as reliable as a paid worker. And the time came when people weren't able to go in, and nobody really realized that she wasn't getting the care So the poor soul didn't eat correctly. She didn't have enough fluids, and her kidneys failed, and she was hospitalized, and she eventually passed away. And for Jean, that was just the impetus, the catalyst for her to start. She said, not on my watch is this going to happen. And that's actually what started the business. And interestingly, when I talked to her this morning, she said, I had a passion for wanting to help people. And that's why I started my business. And that's why I was so successful. So I found the call today remarkable in light of the fact that we were going to be talking about this afternoon.
You know, as you were speaking, I had a question, and you just answered it. But as you said, Griswold was the first franchise, or I guess in the home care, non-skilled home care industry, and yet we're not the largest by any stretch of the imagination. But the core of who we are has remained the same from beginning to today, and you just spoke of that, and that is delivering care, reaching out to help individuals. And even today, that still permeates the whole company.
Yeah, I know Jean was really careful that people, and one of the reasons, as you said, it's not the largest company out there is because not everybody was allowed to be a Griswold special care franchisee. People had to go through this very, very rigorous screening process, and a big part of that process was an assessment of, do they have the right philosophy? Are they really doing this for the right reasons? And are they going to continue this philosophy? And I think a big reason that it still permeates the company today is because it was very intentionally cultivated as part of the culture.
Yeah, I can actually remember sitting in Kent's office and having him, kind of ask random questions, or questions that seem to be random, but really designed to get at, our heart and our philosophy. And I can speak firsthand to the notion that they didn't take everybody, because I had a friend who wanted to start an office in Texas, and I sent him up to Philadelphia. He was a young man, bright young man, energetic young man, but he was turned down the first time, and ultimately did end up getting involved and running an office in Dallas. But it was a good demonstration of the idea that that Griswold was not just going to take anybody that wanted to open an office, but in fact they were looking for people that were like-minded.
Right, and I remember that, Brad, and it's funny because it was a really unusual concept in franchising at the time and today that you would actually turn somebody away who wanted to give you money. But it was one of the many firsts that we did, and many of the ways that we just did things a little differently from everybody else. And because we didn't follow the herd and do things the same way that everybody else was doing, it made the company very, very successful in a lot of different fronts.
Can you describe what some of the other differences are? So, there are so many home care companies out there today, but Griswold had some very specific philosophies in the beginning that differentiated them from the beginning and exist today. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. It was a kind of a two-pronged approach that was taken, and the first was that home care should be affordable. It shouldn't be a luxury item for people. It shouldn't be something that only the wealthy could afford, that the average person should be able to get home care. And the second part of that is that the people providing the care, the caregivers, really should be paid a living wage, a competitive wage, because the work that they're doing is really hard. And, taking good care of those people, making sure that they were well screened, and of course, when they're being paid a bit more, it's always makes it a more attractive proposition for people. So there was never a shortage of caregivers. And being, selective meant that we could really get the very best caregivers out there. So starting with that we wanted people who were paid more than the average, yet we wanted to keep the service affordable, we used slightly different business models than many other companies use. And it really turned into a win-win situation where one of the ways we did it was we contracted the caregivers out. We used independent contractors. And because of that, we were able to actually reduce the rates that the offices were charging sometimes by about 20-30%, and sometimes more than that. And that meant that the client was getting all the benefits that they would get, the screening and the, you know, the reference checking and the, you know, the substitutes that they needed, but they were paying a fraction of the cost that they would pay elsewhere. And it was just a really nice situation.
And at the same time, the caregivers were making more than their peers were making at other companies. And
exactly.
So that made it possible for the Griswold offices to attract a higher quality of caregiver.
Right. And really, when, you know, where do you see the best of both worlds? So many times when, you know, companies offer the top-of-the-line service, you're paying top-of-the-line prices. And to be able to get that top-of-the-line service at an affordable rate is really unusual and really makes you an industry leader.
So I think there would be those who would listen and would be a little worried that this model doesn't protect the client. And that isn't true. So how could you, you know, tell us a little bit about why that is not the case?
Well, I think there's two kind of important things there you just hit on. And the first is that it's a model for doing business. It's a way of doing business. We see lots of business models. Some companies are for-profit. Some companies are not-for-profit. Some companies franchise. Some companies grow through acquisition. Some companies use employees. Some companies use independent contractors. It's simply a model, a choice, a business choice that's made and really doesn't impact the quality of care in any way, shape, or form. What impacts the quality of care is, as you've already commented on, is that you're doing the screening that you need, that you're getting the very best people out there, that people are paying attention to their clients and what their clients are looking for, that the service levels in the business are there, that you know, somebody doesn't can't make it in, and there's a backup person to go in. You know, somebody has a need for a caregiver who you know, cooks a specific way or drives a car or has a set, you know, special certification needed, and the company can find that. So that really has nothing to do with the business structure of the model. It has everything to do with the screening systems and the customer service and the care that's being provided. And my experiences with Griswold, it was always there.
And Fiona, tell our listening audience a little bit about the selection process that has been in place in Griswold for a number of years. Though the name has changed, the principles remain the same. Could you speak to that, please?
I'm sorry. The
selection process. The 17
process.
Step.
I'm sorry,
process.
I just didn't hear you there. Yeah. We actually, you know, it's interesting because there was a lot of stuff that we just kind of coined over the years when I was with the organization, and one of it was a 17-step screening process, and there's more rigorous than I've actually seen anywhere at this point in time, and it started with phone screens, it was face-to-face interviews, there were always one-on-one interviews, and they were always behaviorally structured. So that you were looking at the person's past activities and behaviors and belief systems and approaches. And then that was always followed up with reference checks so that we were able to confirm that this person was an actual fact, a superstar. Criminal background checks, TB tests, you know, just making sure that people were certified. And there was more steps in there. I can't recall them all at the moment, but it was just this really incredible process that it meant something to be a Griswold caregiver. And just like not all of the franchise owners became Griswold directors, most of the people who knocked on the door and wanted to be a caregiver did not make the grade.
Yeah,
it was a very small percentage who were actually brought in and actually referred out to clients.
Yeah, and in fact, in our office here in the land of Fiona, that ratio of caregivers that end up on our registry is about, we begin with 30, and we typically end up with one. That selection process, as you speak of, is one of the principal differentiators, though we call it a different name now than the 17-step selection process. The foundation's the same.
There you go. It doesn't surprise me.
I do want to go back just for one second to the conversation about the model, and there was a second part of that, and that is the concern that there may be risk on the part of a client. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, the risk really doesn't have anything to do with the model per se. It's with all those other things that we talked about, and there's a lot of ways that we mitigate risk I'm sure you're still doing, and I think it just goes back to not just the screening, but the ongoing supervision of the case.
As an example of that, the insurance that any normal company would have. You know, we're fully covered by an insurance policy. The caregivers are actually, at least in our office, are actually bonded. And there is a product out there that allows us to bond caregivers. In 20 years in business here in Atlanta, we've never had an insurance claim. We've not had a situation where there's been any kind of detrimental effect on a client because of our model, but rather it's the opposite. They get outstanding care for an affordable rate.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the one thing I've always heard people say when they talk to business owners about running a business is always have your insurance and always have your coverages in place, but then run your business as if you don't have any at all. And that's what keeps if you think of it like, what if I didn't have any, and you do all the right things, you're less likely to have a problem. So even though you have it there as a backup, as you said, you've never needed it, and that's a great thing to have.
And I think it's important to speak to the fact that our business at Griswold Home Care is really consumer-driven. It's imperative that the listening audience understands that we take our direction from the client, and we simply facilitate the wishes, desires of the client. And that's again, differentiates us. It is our paying clients that tell us who they like, what they like, what they want done and don't want done.
So let me kind of bridge the past and the present here a little bit and ask you about, you know, now you are in an environment where you see many different businesses, even businesses that would be considered competitors to Griswold Special Care, Griswold Home Care now. You know, as an objective observer, several years later, having left Griswold Special Care, can you comment on what you're seeing in the market and how Griswold Home Care stacks up to other companies that are out there doing the same thing?
Sure, Brad. And one of the things that, anybody who's in the healthcare industry can't fail to notice are the number of different home care companies that are out there today. And many of them are franchises, and I think, the number is like 58 or so that were registered as with the International Franchise Association as franchises, and that's good. It's good for the industry. But the challenge, of course, is that when you see in your area 50, 60, 100 different companies there, what makes them different? And one of the things that, in fact, your office in particular has as an advantage is that length of time in business. Where you've been personally doing running home care for a very, very long time, as have the folks in your office. That office, I think you said, has been there 20 years. The company's 30 years old. You understand home care. were somebody who's just starting out, and they're, you know, 6 months ago they might have been an accountant, and that's great, but it certainly presents some challenges when it comes to the provision of that service. And I think that's the one thing that would certainly give me a comfort level with a Griswold office is that Griswold Home Care knows how to do it. They know how to, they know the ins and outs, the ups and downs, and how to make it work for everybody. For the
caregivers, and certainly if it didn't work, we wouldn't still be here.
Well, that's it. That's it. And, you know, just from a marketing perspective, when you look at the growth cycle of an industry, home care is definitely in a growth stage right now. And that's where you tend to see lots of competitors in the market. And over time, that will kind of shake out a little bit, and you'll see that a number of them will close. They won't be around anymore because, quite frankly, it's having that good base underneath you. It's like when you build a house and you've got a really solid foundation. That's what Griswold has, is that solid foundation underneath them, and that's what will make it stronger.
It's really funny that you hit upon that idea, and as you know, Fiona, my principal role is marketing, and that concept, the idea that we have been in business for 20 years, we have grown with this industry from its infancy to present state, and there's not a challenge that we haven't seen. And I sense that brings as much comfort and credibility to the senior market as anything. We're here.
So.
We're long-term players.
Absolutely. And I remember back in the days when even just some of the terminology that's out there today and very common in the market wasn't there when we started. I think that Griswold was the first company to actually use the word caregiver. Back in the beginning, those individuals were referred to as aides or unskilled workers, and I can actually remember, you know, sitting in a meeting and discussing what should we call them, and let's call them caregivers. And over time, as new companies entered the market, that terminology was picked up until it became a very standard industry term. So it's you know, just little things to big things that it worked.
Very good. Well, we're coming to the end of our time here. You know, we had talked about whether or not we were going to do a tip today.
I asked her. I think we should.
And you know, I guess, you know, I have something on my mind, and Fiona, I'm going to ask you next, so I'll give you, you know, 30 seconds to prepare. But one of the things that we have heard consistently over the last 2.5 years in doing this show is for people to plan in advance. Because when you don't plan, you end up settling. And I can't tell you how many times the phone rings on a Friday afternoon, and somebody will be quite distraught, and they'll say, I have called 7 agencies or 15 agencies, and you're the first person that answered the phone, and I need help. And it's so sad because, you know, we know what kind of business we run, and we know what kind of caregivers we use. But if somebody wasn't running a great business and they happened to pick up the phone, basically that client is going to settle for what they get. And what we want to do is encourage people that have loved ones that will need care eventually to not wait to find out what they're going to do about the various care needs that they may have. And it might be home care. It might be legal documents like a power of attorney. It might be a surgery that has to take place, and what are you going to do after the surgery? How are you going to take care of that person? But we just encourage everybody that we can talk to do some planning in advance, to have the conversations with your loved ones that need to be had. And I'm going to make a plug here for an upcoming blog that will be both on our website and a video blog. And thanks to Fiona for giving us the idea to take this to video. But, you know, this will be a series on difficult conversations that kids or loved ones need to have with their aging loved ones. And so we ask you all to look out for that. That'll be coming up. And those will also be the basis of some future shows. So, you know, just as a teaser, talking about the conversation about driving. What do you do about the car keys? So that would be it. Plan, do some planning, have these conversations in advance. And Fiona, let me toss it to you.
Well, I'm going to give a tip to a different group of your listeners, and that would be the people who are in business, and specifically in a business working with older adults and their family members. And when people start to make these choices and sometimes do plan in advance, which I think is a great tip, by the way, my advice to you to be successful in the sales portion of it is listening. And I know this isn't a new tip. It's an old one, but listening a little differently, and listening as if, as if it were you sitting there and really trying to get inside what that client or that prospect is asking for and trying to listen with full attention and understand what they need. And if you can do that, I can promise everybody that just that little thing alone will help them when they're working with their prospects and later on when those prospects become their clients or residents. So that would be my tip for the day.
And we appreciate that, Fiona. That is just a foundation of human relationship, of effective communication. We certainly appreciate you you bringing that to our attention.
And before we close, I'm sorry. I know you were about to close because I just told you to. but
as,
Fiona,
as usual, this show is always out of kilter.
That's right. Well, you know, you never know what to expect, but that's good. But I want to, Fiona, give you one more opportunity to talk because I know that you have written a book and it's going to be published shortly here, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate the plug. So, yes, there's a book. It will be released at the end of this month. It's called The Closer's Mindset. This isn't a book about sales process. This is a book about what happens in the head of those people who are really, really successful in sales. And it'll be available to people who have e-readers or available in an actual book version. If you would like to get an alert as to when it is out there and available, I'll give you my email address, and you can shoot me an email. And it's F Middleton. That's F like Fox, Middleton at FairfieldSolutions.com. Or you can just give a phone call, and I'll be happy to talk through any of your sales issues. The number is 484-632-4183. We're Fairfield Business Solutions, and please come visit us on the web. At FairfieldSolutions.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, Brad.
Fiona, that's great. We always like for our listeners to have our guests host contact information. We appreciate you providing that, and we thank you for being our guest. But more importantly, I thank you for being our friend and our companion through this this process with Griswold Home Care. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good work. It's just a great thing that you're doing for people there, and I hope the Atlanta community knows how lucky they are to have both of you there.
Well, and we'll look forward to you. I think you said you're going to visit Atlanta sometime late July, and we'll look forward to that as well.
Great. We'll look forward to it.
Well, that's it for today. We want to thank Fiona for being our guest, and we certainly encourage all of our listeners to email her or contact her if they would like to have a copy of the new book, or if they just would like to have some general counseling on in regards to marketing to the senior market. And we want to remind our listeners that if they'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. And as always, we want to close in saying that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.